Welcome to Lesson 18 of How to Understand Quranic Grammar Series. Six lessons ago, we started tackling the last category of the word in Arabic, which is particle. We learned that particles in Arabic can be jar, nasb, or jazm particles. And with the grace of Allah, we have covered each one of these types. And today, we tackle the fourth and final category of particles, which is flexible particles. So, let's get started. In Arabic, flexible particles are called حروف العطف, and they are و, ف, ثم, أم, and أو. These particles will necessarily involve two actions, one before and one after. They are called flexible because they can be used with both nouns and verbs without any restrictions whatsoever. But the important thing is that there are always two actions involved. Moreover, they can cause the noun, verb, or even the entire sentence after them to be in the state of رفع, جر, نصب, or جزم, depending on the noun or verb before them. So, flexible particles will basically copy the state of the noun or verb before them to the noun, verb, or sentence after them. This is flexible particles in a simple sense. However, there is much more to their grammatical work in terms of i'rab, but diving deeper into the grammatical function is outside the scope of this series. We will primarily focus on the meaning and how they're used in the Quran in context. These flexible particles, or حروف العطف, come in two categories, addition and possibilities. And these three are the addition particles. و, ف, ثم. And these could be translated into and, then. But to understand their work, we need to learn their deeper Arabic meaning, which is far more than that. And understanding their subtle implications is key to understanding the intended meaning of the ayat in the Quran. All three of these particles convey one common thing, which is addition. So when adding two actions or two nouns to one another, all three of these particles will work. But they are different as to which happens first. So the order of actions. So, as for fa and thumma, both of them convey an order of action, which means that what comes first happens first, and what comes second happens later. This, however, is not the case for wa. What is mentioned before and after doesn't necessarily mean that they happen in the same order like that. And since we are talking about actions happening one after the other, the question now is, did one happen directly after the other, or was there a time gap? Well, ثُمَّ conveys that there is a time gap between the first and the second action, while fa means that the action happened directly afterwards, with little to no time gap. And of course, for wa, as long as there is no particular order for both actions, then it will not indicate if there is a time gap or not. It only indicates that these two actions or these two nouns happened or shared the same action. So when Allah says,
وَأَتِمُّوا الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ,
we understand that we are required to perform Hajj and Umrah. The ayah does not require or specify a particular order, or which happens before the other. It also doesn't say if one should happen directly after or directly before the other, or if time between the two actions is of any essence. But in this example,
قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره.
In this ayah, we see that Allah talks about the creation of man. Here we should understand that when Allah created man in the womb, immediately afterwards, He also destined for him. So there is little to no time between these two actions. That's what we should understand. But since there is time between being created in the womb and coming out of it, Allah used the word thumma, which conveys not only the correct order, but also that there is time between the two actions. Similarly, in the next ayah, when Allah tells us about the death of man afterwards, Allah uses the word thumma, since between being born and dying, there is typically a lifetime, which is a time gap, of course. But between death and being put in a grave, there isn't much of a time gap, and therefore the particle fa was used. فَأَقَبَرَ means it happened directly afterwards. And finally, between death and resurrection, there is a long time that only Allah knows how long it is. And therefore, the word thumma is used again to convey that there is a time gap. So that's how these particles are used to convey more than just addition. Moving on to the second group, which is the two particles of possibilities, or we could also say choice. These two particles are أو and أم, and both of them can be translated into or, but they are not used in the same way. أو is used only with statements, while أم is used with interrogatives. So basically, when asking a question. This could be a real question or a rhetorical question, like what we see in these examples.
وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا.
So here the word أَوْ was used because this is a statement, this is a sentence, it is not a question. And there are two possibilities being discussed, or two choices here. And that's why the word أو can be used without a problem. Unlike in this example.
قُلْ أَأَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ أَمِ اللَّهِ.
Of course, as we have learned in this series, the hamza at the beginning of the word أأنتم conveys a question. So this means that this sentence afterwards is actually a question. So that's why using M in this context is correct, because the two possibilities are part of a question. So this was the most essential information to know about flexible particles in the Quran. Needless to say, there are more حروف عطف or flexible particles in Arabic, but we focused only on the ones that were used commonly in the Quran and could impact your understanding of an ayah. Finally, while we are now, alhamdulillah, done with understanding every single category of the Arabic verb, ism, فعل, and حرف, there are still some exceptions and general rules that you need to know before the end of this course. So stay tuned and I'll see you inshallah in the next lesson. Thanks for watching. If you want to start your journey to learn the Tajweed of the Quran, you can click on this link. And if you want to understand the Quran in Arabic, then you should click on that link. And finally, I hope you've learned something new today, and I will see you next time.